I've got a little hitch in my gait today. Just a little bit of pain in my back. I guess that's better than being a pain in the neck. But I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I sleep maybe the wrong way or get a little overwhelmed with work or a decision or something I'm wrestling with, if I'm a little stressed at times mentally or physically, it impacts me the way I feel. And I know we all experience that in one way or the other. Sometimes our mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being impacts our physical health and wholeness. Well, for me, when I think of this, and I've shared this teaching with some of you before, and I thought it was a good, appropriate time with this text today to revisit what I gave as an acronym to talk of the balance of my life in dealing with the stressors that we all face, with an acronym titled SAP, S-A-P. And you know, if you think of that word SAP, it has two different meanings. In the dictionary, you hear where to be sapped is when you just feel that you're at a loss. You're depleted. There's nothing left. So often that's the way we feel physically or maybe even emotionally and mentally when we're stressed or overwhelmed. We feel sapped, right? We can all relate to that at times in our journey. But then there's another word that even Scripture talks about the word sap, how it is the substance that gives life to trees that ultimately, right, give us life. The psalmist spoke of sap in this way. He spoke of, in his writing, that sap is the stuff that gives life to the palm trees and the beautiful palms of Lebanon. It's said in Psalm 96. And he says that when we are children of God, we have life like sap. Sap gives life to those trees and their beauty. So sap, from that perspective, is positive. It's life-giving. And it's a reminder to me that we need a little bit of stress in our life. We need a little bit of sap. We've just got to balance the proper and right amount of stress. So often, if we don't have any stress, we won't do anything, right? It kind of motivates us. If we feel that we have a passion to serve our family, our community, if we're not happy with the way things are, those are the positive forms of stress that inspire us to strive to walk more in the image of our Lord. But it's when we get out of balance, that's what I want to focus on today, that often impacts us, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually in our relationships with others. So I'm going to share some teachings that have been impactful in my journey, and I pray they're helpful to you on your journey today for a more balanced life through the love of our Lord. When I think of the S of the word sap, I'm reminded that the first challenge that I often face when I'm getting out of balance and stress is overwhelming me is that when my successes, those things that I search to attain, are self-serving. That's three S's in the middle of our sap. Self-serving success. Now, what does that mean? Means I'm just doing it for my own benefit, right? I'm trying to accomplish perhaps great things or be recognized by others just so I get the accolade. It's self-serving, and oftentimes it will leave you exhausted. I saw recently a clip of Matthew McConaughey offering the commencement address for the University of Houston. Some of you may have seen that. If you haven't, do a Google search and take a look at it. A very inspiring speech where McConaughey spoke of early in his career. He sought that success. He always had his eye on what he wanted to achieve, the end result, right? Whether it is to win Best Actor or make millions through the film. And he said, I never could find joy in my life. I had fleeting happinesses, but joy is that beauty that comes from above that transcends circumstances. And he said, when I stopped focusing on the end result and sought more joy in the daily, the event of making the movie, of interacting with people I like and who like me, he said, I found a true joy. And he said, here's what else happened. I ultimately, through that journey, found more success in the end too. You see, friends, that's what happens when we seek to live successful lives that don't simply serve our own selfish ambitions, but to serve the world through God's love and for God's glory. So for me, and I pray for you, we can remember that the success, what we want to accomplish in life, should be about, most of all, sharing love with those around us and bringing glory to the one who made us. You know, in our text today, as it began, we hear this story. If you'll remember last week, Jesus had just preached in the synagogue. He brought healing to the man who'd been demon-possessed. And our text tells us today that as soon as they finished their time of worship in the synagogue, they went to the home of Simon Peter. Jesus brought healing to the mother-in-law of Peter, and then she offers and displays a beautiful response to faith. She served. She served. This story, as Mark shared today, was so important to the ministry of the church and continues to be part of our ministry that Mark said we must comment on what Peter's mother-in-law did. She put action to her faith. Not only did she put action, she sought to be a gift to those around her. That's what it means to serve. You see, that's the opposite of self-serving success. Is when we seek to serve others through God's love. Friends, I don't know about y'all, but I've tried it both ways. I've tried to do the things for selfish motives. And you see, that's where our gospel gets turned upside down, right? We think we're trying to accomplish something, like Matthew McConaughey said, to achieve that great crown that we want, whatever it is, if it's in dentistry, or in trucking, or in construction, or in athletics. We have that golden star often that we chase. But when we seek, most of all, to be a gift to those around us, to serve others, our family, our loved ones, not for selfish reasons, then we actually accomplish more for God's glory. Matthew McConaughey said, that's when I was even more successful professionally, when I tried to live for the other. And certainly in our text today, not only did Peter's mother-in-law exemplify that, but friends, that is the very nature of our God, to be a servant. That was the text that the gospel writer Mark also explains, where Jesus is quoted by saying, I came not to be served, right? But to be a servant for all. Friends, if that's the nature of our God, who lived this world, in this world as completely human and completely God, then that's the nature I want to follow as I seek to walk in His ways. So friends, as we seek to find balance in our life and the stressors are upon us, may we remember to not be self-centered in our pursuit of success. That's the S of SAP. The A of SAP, when I get out of balance and overstressed in life, is when I focus on approval addiction. I want everybody to like me, Mike. I want everybody to love me, if we're honest about it. And let's be honest again and say, ultimately, we're never going to accomplish that, right? We can't make all of the people happy all of the time. We can't make some of the people happy none of the time. That's the way it is in our interactions in life. I don't know about y'all, but so often where I get wrapped up in addiction to approval, wanting to impress others, is that I find myself striving to impress people that I'm not really impressed with myself. Now, why do we do that? People that we have little respect for, perhaps, in their professional or personal lives, and we're worried about their opinion. That's where I find myself getting overstressed, when I try to approve or be approved by others. You see, Jesus in our text today, he exemplified understanding the balance of not being driven by public opinion and just trying to make everybody happy. Did you hear in our text where, as the disciples came looking for him, they said, you know, everybody's looking for you. Everybody wants you. What are you doing? And he said, you know, now it's time. Now it's time for us to move to here, from here, so I can go share the good news with other peoples throughout the region. See, if Jesus had been consumed with simply making everybody happy, he would have stayed right there, and the gospel, even as he practiced it, would not have been released throughout all of the world, as his disciples followed in his ways too. He understood his purpose was to love everyone, right, church? Not to impress everyone. There's a difference. Don't we see that as parents? You know, Jenna, as the big boy grows up, there's going to be times that if your motive as a mama was to always impress him, you wouldn't be a very good mama, would you? There's going to be times where our love transcends doing what's approved or impressed. Jesus practiced that in his nature as he sought to deliver the gospel beyond him. Friends, in our daily life, let's don't be consumed. And I'm preaching to Jody as much as anybody. I promise you, let's don't be consumed with the approval of others. Let's seek most of all the approval of God. You see, what happens with both of these challenges for me and maybe for you, when I focus on self-centered success, I'm really trying to impress myself. And when I focus on addiction approval, I'm really trying to impress others. And ultimately, our goal as people of faith is to impress God. And you know what? Here's the beauty. God doesn't have to be impressed. God doesn't want our trophies. You know what God wants? You know what impresses our God? It's not our accomplishments. It's this. It's our faithfulness to trust him. And it's our love. See, Paul said it this way. Our righteousness, if that's what we want to call our trophies, our righteousness, our accomplishments, Paul said we are righteous in what? In our faith, simply by trusting in God, by putting our belief in Christ, we are made right with God. Wow. Is that saying to us that God's not impressed by our accomplishments, but God is impressed by our love and our trust in Christ as our Savior? Wow. Friends, may we be released from trying to impress ourselves, trying to impress others, and simply impress upon the world around us that we want to grow our faith and love in Christ. The last challenge that I face, when I find myself getting out of balance, overwhelmed with work, with family, with challenges, decisions, is when I embrace the P of SAP, a pursuit of perfectionism. You ever thought about perfectionism? How there's no chance to have happiness if you embrace perfectionism? Here's what I mean. If we think that we have to be perfect all the time with everything we do, then if we actually are perfect, there's not going to be any room for celebration. You know why? Because we simply did what we thought we were supposed to do. For example, in bowling, my Luke Hill and his team went down and bowled for the state championship this week. They came in third. They missed the championship round, the last two teams, by 6 pins. Oh, that's not a lot. Over 2,600 pins fell that day. Nearly 2,700, and they missed 6 pins going to the championship. But you know, in bowling, if a person views that the only goal for them is a 300, a perfect game, and if they bowl that 300, how can they even celebrate it if that's the only measure that they said, I have to bowl a 300 or I'm not going to be happy? Then they're not even going to be happy. They just did what they thought they were supposed to do. Friends, here's the story. I'm not calling you to mediocrity. I'm not calling you to some passive journey in life. I really do believe that we find our best life, our most full life, our most accomplishments of sharing God's love and glorifying our Lord when we understand to keep things in balance. Here's what I mean by that. You know, I'm a guy who wears a lot of different hats. I'm a husband. I'm a daddy. I'm president of a seminary. I'm a pastor of a wonderful church. I'm the president of the bowling team's booster club. And if I tried to be the very best at any one of those, I would not be very good at the other. Here's what I mean. I'm not the very best preacher in the world. It's a good thing this is a Presbyterian church, because the whole sanctuary would have shouted amen right there, if not. I'm not the very best preacher in the world. I'm a pretty good preacher sometimes when I have my A game on. But if I tried to be the very best in the world, I'd probably study 40 hours a week, John, on that sermon. And I would just labor intense and work it to my bones, and it would be good. But you know what? I wouldn't have much time to give my family, would I? If I was trying to work a full-time job and work 40 hours on a sermon too. The other opposite's true as well. If I put every bit of my energy only in my seminary ministry, where am I as your pastor? Not very good at that. I could be the very best at one of those, but everything else would suffer. You know, you see what I found, and maybe you have found, when we find balance in life, in striving to be the best we can with our whole life, and walking in the image of Christ, friends, that's when we find true accomplishment, true joy. That's found only in our Lord. You see, here's how we do it ultimately. We look at the model of our Lord Jesus in our text today. One of the most beautiful statements in this text today that Mike, I'd never seen before until this week. How do we find this balance of dealing with the stress of life, with the self-serving success, with the addiction approval, with the pursuit of perfectionism? How do we deal with it? We simply cry out to God and Christ in prayer and say, I'm not perfect. I don't have the answers. Will you show me the way? See, that's what Jesus exemplified in our text today. As he sought to bring salvation and proclaim the good news to the world. Did you hear what happened in our text today? It said very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went out to pray. See, so often I've thought about that, Vince, just being dark, meaning it's still night. But let's be honest. Let's get very real today. Many of us have faced, or are facing right now, a different kind of darkness. Dark night of the soul. The darkness of depression. The darkness of being overwhelmed and overstressed and overworked. See, I think the meaning of this text speaks of that darkness too. Jesus gave for us a model that when it is still dark, friends, may we look to the light of Christ and the inspiration of Almighty God to pray and seek the Lord's strength to lead us in a way where we will live our best life to share the glory and perfection of our God with all around us. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are grateful for you.